Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all.
Welcome to our 346th episode of Think Again, a program produced by Borderlands Cooperative, an organisation working for social and environmental sustainability for over 28 years. We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I'm Jennifer Burrell, your host today. But before I introduce our guest, I'd just like to thank a few people who've donated to the 3CR Radiothon in support of Think Again. So, David Hall, thanks again. Mari Brennan, John Kent, Andrew Mace, and Mary from Coburg. And Mary says, keep up the good work. So thank you to all you generous donations, and feel free to keep donating so that we can meet our target. Today, we're privileged to be joined on the line by Kelvin Thompson. Many people will remember that Kelvin Thompson was the Federal Labor member for Wills from 1996 to 2016. And as a local constituent, I can vouch that he was a great grassroots representative, really in touch with people and groups in the local area and working very hard to represent them day in, day out, and a lot of evenings too, I'm sure. But that's not why we have him on Think Again today. We're going to be hearing from Kelvin Thompson about his lifelong interest in the natural environment and his work to protect precious local areas like the Moonee Ponds Creek. Welcome to the program, Kelvin.
Thanks, Jennifer. Good morning, and thanks for the opportunity to talk with you.
It's a real pleasure. Thanks. Firstly, Kelvin, can you tell us about your background in caring for the natural environment? When and where did it all start?
So I was born and grew up and still live in Pasco Vale, and I got interested in Australian birds and plants and animals when I was very young. I think my earliest recollections are my parents leaving me at the Flagstaff Gardens while I went shopping at the Queen Victoria Market. It was a more innocent age then, Jennifer. I don't think people would do that now. Yeah. And a bit later on, my brother and I would ride our bikes to the Faulkner Cemetery, and sometimes the attendants would kick us out. But other times I saw things like superb blue wrens and little falcons and the like, and I developed a great interest and affection for Australian birds. Mm-hmm. My brother and I set up a group called the Pasco Vale Young Naturalists, and as we got older, it became the Pasco Vale Naturalists, and my father, Alan, became its secretary and really its driving force for about 30 years. Mm-hmm. And as a result of our interest in Australian natural history, we became interested in conservation and the environment. And through 1969-1970, there was really a flowering of the modern conservation movement right around the globe. But in Victoria, its particular manifestations were the battles to save the Little Desert and the Lower Glenelg from development. And we were involved in those campaigns, which were successful, I'm pleased to say. But that got me interested in politics, because you realise that it's governments, for better or for worse, that make the decisions that impact on our environment. And that's how I became interested in political life.
That's such an interesting story. From about what age was that, Kelvin, that interest? Or when were you dropped at the Flagstaff Gardens?
Yes, that's right. I would have been sort of eight or nine. And the Pasco Vale Young Naturalists started when we were 10, when I was 10. And I remember actually at school, they asked us to talk about our hobbies, and I gave a somewhat lame presentation about stamp collecting, and the teacher said, look, you've got a much more interesting hobby than that, because he knew about the bird watching, and then I spoke to the class about the bird watching, and my father, Dad and Mum took us on a trip up to Queensland with a caravan in 1966 when I was 11, and they let me do some of the choosing of the route, which I did according to what I thought were our best chances to see birds that I'd never seen. And I produced a list from that trip of the birds that I'd seen, which I can still remember was 181 species.
Whoa.
And that became the basis of my life list, Jennifer. Nowadays it's pretty hard to see something new, but I continue to keep a list that started way back then.
Wow, that's incredible. So you seem to have a natural passion, you and your brother, for nature, but also you had a very supportive family.
I did, and my father had grown up in the Western District, so had Mum, but he grew up at the back of the Grampians, and although he didn't know a lot of detail about the birds, he was interested in them, so we were kind of knocking on an open door. Dad would take us out camping and take us to places that enabled us to pursue our interest.
Well, how wonderful. So coming to the present day, can you tell us about specific projects that you've led and been involved in and are involved in to look after local environments? For example, I hear that you've been doing some great work to preserve and bring back the life of the Moonee Ponds Creek.
Yes, well, one of the things that my brother Lex and I used to do was to ride our bikes down the Gaffney Street Hill and look for birds and frogs and other wildlife around the creek meander at the bottom of the hill. But back in the early 1970s, the then Board of Works concrete lined the Moonee Ponds Creek and spoiled this area. So it felt to us as teenagers to be officially sanctioned vandalism. And I was involved in the resident action in the mid-1970s, which stopped the creek from being concreted further upstream. The concreting stopped at the back of the Strathmore North Primary School off Mascoma Street.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was elected to the Victorian Parliament way back in 1988, I had in my back pocket the idea of trying to unconcrete the Moonee Ponds Creek. Now, Jennifer, that turns out to be a lot harder than it was to stop the concrete from going upstream.
Mm.
And I convened a meeting of what is now the Friends of Moonee Ponds Creek way back in 1989 in my electorate office. And we set up the Friends of Moonee Ponds Creek, and I was its president for 30 years, and during that time, I think we've achieved quite a lot. We've done lots of tree plantings, litter cleanups, worked with land managers on extending the shared path, got rid of cyclone wire fences, built bridges, improved public access. We worked with Melbourne Water on the design of the Jacana wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
It's overgrown now and it needs work, but back in the Millennium Drought, it was home for such unusual bird visitors as the yellow-billed spoonbill and the glossy ibis, and it was a case of build it and they will come. We fought off housing proposals that would pave over our green spaces and plans by government agencies to sell off public land to the highest bidder, and we had wins on that front at Hopeton Avenue, Brunswick and Outlook Drive, Glenroy. Those wins were satisfying, but I do admit to being irritated at our having to spend a lot of energy and political capital in order to get an outcome which in the 21st century really should be too obvious for words. And we're also active in the successful campaign against the East-West Link, which would have entombed a section of the Moonee Ponds Creek. Another thing we've accomplished was a campaign called the Rivers of the West, and you might know that the Yarra River got its own special act of Parliament and that people from the western suburbs started campaigning for something outside of town, but our side of town's a bit more complicated. No one river dominates the landscape the way the Yarra does in the east. So that campaign was called Rivers of the West, and eventually the state government agreed to action along these lines and nominated the Maribyrnong River, the Werribee River and the Moonee Ponds Creek for inclusion. And because the Moonee Ponds is a creek, not a river, the whole project was renamed Waterways of the West, which I thought was not a bad effort for something that people used to call a drain. Mm. But with our headline objective, unconcreting the creek, we'd never really been able to make any progress. But after 2018, Melbourne Water got together with the local councils and agencies and community groups, including the Friends of Moonee Ponds Creek, and formed what was called the Chain of Ponds Collaboration. And the Chain of Ponds Strategic Plan of 2018 identified the furthest upstream concreted area adjacent to Strathmore and Oak Park for reimagining. And that project's taken quite some time to deliver, and it doesn't cover a very long stretch of the creek. But the symbolism of rolling back the concrete from where it ended is very powerful, and it gives us all hope that one day the concrete will be gone. And it's really been a great project.
And that chain of ponds, can you explain that a little bit? What does the chain of ponds, does it bring in natural wildlife and birds, or does it provide some sort of natural corridor as well as winding back the concreting? Can you talk a little bit about what that actually does in terms of the environment?
The chain of ponds as a formal structure is Melbourne Water plus the adjoining councils, Hume, Merribeck, Moonee Valley and Melbourne, plus a number of other agencies like Greater Western Water. And it also has partners in community groups like the Friends of Moonee Ponds Creek and the Kensington Association. So we have plans in relation to the Moonee Ponds Creek, and the reimagining plan, the unconcreting, is the most significant. But there are other plans as well, including the litter action plan, which I actually do now as a 2 days a week job. So we have a range of plans where we work with traditional owners, community groups, land managers to restore and revitalise the Moonee Ponds Creek and its valley.
Yes, and I have to confess, I recently did a Nature Stewards program where George Paris, one of the co-facilitators, he reminded me of the great work you're doing, hence the invitation to come on the program. But we actually did get out to visit some of that chain of ponds, and I was really impressed with the natural engineering behind it that actually cleans the water and provides habitat for a lot of water fowl and birds and creatures, smaller invertebrates. And so it's really a beautiful way of bringing back the waterways as well. And I understand also that there's lots of, even though there are some people who say the concreting can never be completely undone just because it'd be so expensive, there's a lot of in-between work being done, like putting rocks on the side, removing concrete on the sides of some of the channels and putting rocks there instead, where...
Yes, that's exactly right. So the stage one is involved removing the concrete walls along both sides of the creek and replacing that with rock work. Mm-hmm. The concrete base was covered with rock work to create a meandering creek, slow down flows and give it a natural look and feel. And over 40,000 native trees and shrubs were planted. We also have new shared paths, a new bridge and a new cultural immersive trail put in place. So, Jennifer, most people who take on something either succeed within a year or two or give up and move on to try something else. So for some of us to see something that we've quietly worked on for decades start to take shape, to describe that as a feeling of satisfaction is masterly understatement.
Yeah, and I guess that's a really heartening message for a lot of activists, that it's really often you just have to persist. You don't see easy results.
That's exactly right. We've been very patient, and I think in terms of seeing the concrete going further downstream, there is a stage two, which the governments have committed very substantial funding to, so that's very encouraging. But yes, it is a very long-term project to remove concrete right along the waterway, but obviously people further downstream are very keen to see that happen because they've seen the results further upstream and they're terrific.
And I have to express some personal gratitude because my son used to play sport in Moonee Valley Sporting Club, cricket and football. So I used to, sometimes I'd often walk our dog along the creek. When I say I walked along the creek, I walked along a long concrete drain and I was a bit horrified. So I definitely, along with a lot of local community people, really enjoy the walks that have been created for people in living in urban areas to really enjoy and appreciate nature.
Yes.
So I'll just remind listeners, you're listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio on 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. Today we have the great privilege of being joined by Kelvin Thompson, who was a member for Wheels for about 20 years. But today we're really talking about his lifelong work, really, to protect and sustain local ecologies, as I say, part of his long life passion. So what do you see as the biggest challenge, Kelvin, to protecting our natural areas and local ecologies, including our waterways, of course?
Well, of course, Jennifer, there are numerous challenges and it's a big question, but growth and urbanisation is the biggest one. So Melbourne, the population is increasing by 100,000 each year, and we have population growth at a national level, at a global level, which puts pressure on open spaces, leads to the loss of wildlife corridors, and things like decline in insect numbers, which are food sources for birds and so on. The particular challenge that I've been working on for the last couple of years is the problem of litter, which is a problem for the environment and is on the increase. And Australia now produces 2.5 million tonnes of plastic waste each year, which is 100 kilograms per person. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember a time when plastic pretty much didn't exist at all, and my mum used to do the shopping with a string bag. Mm. But 84% of that litter goes to landfill. It tends to end up in waterways, and in the case of Melbourne, in Port Phillip Bay. It's estimated that 99% of seabirds worldwide have ingested plastic. Mm. And litter is also a problem for people. Plastics break down into microplastics and nanoplastic particles, which are bad for our health. And I'd also make the point that areas of public open space with litter become unsightly, prone to more litter, graffiti and vandalism. They're less attractive and feel less safe. So it's certainly a problem, and one of the things I've noticed since taking on this role is that there is a lot of flat-out rubbish dumping, you know, household waste, building and construction waste and so on being dumped in public open spaces and waterways. It's a very big problem for the councils on the urban boundary, like Hume and Whittlesea, mm-hmm. but it's also a problem in other places as well.
Yeah, I understand there's, in the city of Hume, in particular, there are a lot of big vacant blocks where the owners aren't on location, and big trucks come in the middle of the night and dump their rubbish because they don't want to pay fees for disposing of it properly.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. And I think you've got a project, Adopt a Creek. Is that to do with people being responsible for the litter on certain sections of the Moonee Ponds Creek?
That's exactly right, Jennifer. So since January last year, I've been working a couple of days a week for the Moonee Ponds and a Ponds collaboration and as the litter action officer. And the particular innovation that I've brought to this task is what I call Adopt a Creek. I'm not saying that it's original to me, but I'm encouraging individuals, families and groups to adopt sections of the creek close to where they live and to take on responsibility for keeping them free of litter. And Adopt a Creek is based on the philosophy that people are hyper-local, they care a lot about their own immediate neighbourhood, that many hands make light work, mm-hmm. and that if people seeing others working upstream and downstream from them, they'll be inspired to do likewise. We don't expect or want people to do anything dangerous like working in the water itself or on steep banks. And it's been a great success. with many individuals, families and groups volunteering. So I've got around 70 individuals and families who've put up their hands to adopt sections of the creek. Some of those are under 18, but given the nature of the problem, getting youngsters involved is every bit as important as involving adults. And for example, I've got one mum with her two teenage daughters doing her section of the creek every second Friday after school. And I thought, well, look, if everyone was doing that, the Moonee Ponds Creek and the world would be a beautiful place. And we've also got groups involved, so scouts groups, schools, service clubs like Lions and Rotary and so on, putting up their hand to do it. And we've basically got the cities of Moonee Valley and Merribeck are largely covered. I've got a couple of areas in those cities still remaining, but they are largely covered. I've still got sections down in Melbourne and upstream in Hume, that in places like Gladstone Park and Gowan Bray, Westmeadows and Broadmeadows, that could do with support. But a lot of the sections have been covered, and the amount of support for it has been extremely encouraging.
What a fabulous project. We will put details of how to become involved on our program page, but what's the best way, just briefly, what's the best way if people want to be part of that Adopt a Creek, what's the best way they can get in touch with you or the project?
Yes, the easiest way, Jennifer, is to simply email me. So it's kelvint@hume.vic.gov.au. And then I walk along the relevant section of the creek with people and give them some tools of the trade, a litter picker and gloves and bag. And as I say, people have been doing a mighty job. We've had the workers at Yarra Trams tackling their section of the creek between Dynon Road and Footscray Road on their lunch break. And a young bloke works for Johnson & Johnson that gives some company leave to do volunteering works, and he's chosen to do his volunteering work on the Moonee Ponds Creek. And, you know, lots of great stories of people coming together to look after the creek and look after the world around them.
And what a great way for, as you say, families to engage children and whole families. What a great thing to do in the weekend, even if it's every second weekend for an hour or a few hours. What a great thing to do, to be out in nature and helping clear up and really feeling that you're making some contribution to preserving our natural environment and making the world a better place. It's just very heartening. And for people who are lonely, they often say if people are a bit lonely or feeling isolated, the best thing to do is do some voluntary work and join with other people in doing some work you believe in.
Yeah, so some of the people who put up their hand to adopt a creek, if you like, the usual suspects, people who've been looking after the environment and members of Friends of Moonee Ponds Creek for decades, and they're fantastic, and they should get an Order of Australia. But what I really like is when young families put up their hands and they say, I want to nominate my son or my daughter to help me with Adopt a Creek because I want to teach them about civic engagement and helping out in your community, but also teach them about protecting and looking after the environment. So that kind of thing is really encouraging. And as you say, it does bring people together. Some of the people who've adopted the creek in Kensington are women who sort of lived close by but didn't know each other. And when I met up with them, I discovered they were quite like-minded. So putting them in touch with each other brings about potentially a whole new group of friends.
Wonderful. And I was going to ask you what keeps you going and what keeps you inspired. You've already told a lot of good news stories, but perhaps you might want to add to that.
Yeah, so look, Adopt a Creek has been very encouraging to see how many people do care about, in this case, the Moonee Ponds Creek, but who essentially care about their own neighbourhood and the world in which they live. So I do derive a lot of encouragement from that. And when I ride my bike along the Moonee Ponds Creek path and hear the lorikeets careering through the trees, I feel like the creek is making progress and is improving from the barren eyesore that it was in the aftermath of it being concrete lined and everything, all of the vegetation having been cleared and so on, as was the case. When it was originally found by Europeans in the 1840s, well, it wasn't a creek at all. It was a chain of ponds, but it was a charming and tranquil area with an abundance of natural vegetation and wildlife. And they said the air was heavy with the mingled odours of the golden Murnong flowers and purple-fringed lilies and curlews, ibises and blue cranes were there in numbers. Black swans visited it, as did flocks of wild ducks. So you've got this that kind of background, and the possibility of restoring that, and the vision of restoring that, is the sort of thing that encourages me.
Yeah, and you know, there are politicians who have statues built for them, but you can go along the Moonee Ponds Creek and and see where the concrete was removed and what a great legacy that is.
It is very encouraging and satisfying to see that, Jennifer.
Fantastic. And someone should do a little bit of graffiti. Kelvin was here, probably. Just a suggestion out there, listeners. Not that I'm telling anyone to do anything illegal.
Yes, exactly.
And finally, we're coming quickly to the end of the program. What can listeners do?
So I'm encouraging listeners to contact me and to get involved in Adopt a Creek. The other thing that I think we do need is action on the policy front, because litter is a classic case of an ounce of prevention being worth a pound of cure. And there have been initiatives in other countries that have, I think, are worth thinking about here. So things like England having... the UK having put in place a plastic packaging levy and extended producer responsibility. So if people are talking to councillors and members of parliament and so on, if they talk to them about that, I think that something like plastic packaging levy makes sense, because the amount of plastic in the world's oceans is just increasing all the time. It's said that at the present rate, by 2050, the weight of plastic in the world's oceans will exceed the weight of the fish. And you go, we've got to be able to do better than that. And there are policy things that could be done that would help, I think.
So, Kelvin, maybe if you could email me a link to, and we can put that on our program page, if you know of any campaign that people can join, or they should contact their local MP about it, I guess.
Yes, yeah, I can do that.
So we have to end now. Thank you so much, Kelvin Thompson, for coming on the program today. It's been, I think, really inspiring and very informative, and it's really good to hear about the great things people are doing to look after our precious natural world, especially with all the doom and gloom news we're getting all the time. It reminds people that if you care about the environment, you're not alone. So thank you.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
For the month of June, we're asking listeners to donate to the station to help keep us going. We rely on the generous donations of the community to survive. Go to 3cr.org.au and show your support for community-owned and community-run media.
Or you can ring during business hours, 3CR 9419 8377. And it's not too late to donate to the 3CR Radiothon, and feel free to nominate Think Again when you do donate. Most importantly, thanks for supporting Think Again and 3CR by tuning in and listening and being part of the 3CR community. If you would like to send any comments about this program, please email Borderlands, info@borderlandscooperative.net. Our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au. Meanwhile, to finish our program today, please enjoy Milkumana by King Stingray. Milkumana.
Romo lo que hará coma con el muro van a tirar la van a morar. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.